Welcome to episode
16
of WoW Geekly, a weekly podcast about the World of Warcraft with a streak of geek. This episode was recorded on
Tuesday,
the
25th
of
February,
2014. Please remain as you are and let your auditory receptors give a warm, geekly welcome to your hosts, Asheo and Jeppy.
Good morning and welcome to WoW Geekly, the World of Warcraft podcast with a streak of geek. This is episode 16, which you would have heard in the wonderfully tuned intro done by Mr. Asheo. And Mr. Asheo, although 12,000 miles away, seems like it's sitting right next to me here. Hello, Mr. Asheo.
Sitting right next to you. Morning, mate.
Morning.
How's your week been?
Oof, it's been a week. It's definitely been a week.
In a week, shock block full of news. It all seemed to drop hours after we put our podcast out.
Yeah. I reckon somebody was waiting by the button.
Yeah. It's like, okay, there it is. Alrighty, let's release some news.
It's in the can. Bang. A lot of, some of it wasn't necessarily meant to come out, I think. We're not sure yet, but we don't kick off into the news straight away, do we?
Oh, no. We don't do that. We do other stuff. We come up with geeky and nerdy facts about episode numbers. It's a good way to start, isn't it? 16, mate. 16. Sweet 16. I didn't think of that. I probably should have gone straight for the song, shouldn't I? There's probably quite a few songs with 16 in it, isn't there?
Yeah, which, and they all sound a little bit pervy now.
No, they do, don't they?
And, you know, in the part 16.
Yeah. Sweet 18 doesn't really roll off the tongue, does it? No.
21 might be better. That was one of the titles. We'll leave this on. We'll leave this till 17, but there's a Beatles song I need to talk about when we do 17.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, but you're right. It's like, okay. So what do you have? Do you have something to really blow our minds?
Well, you know, 16, mate. What more can you say about 16 than hexadecimal?
Oof. Oh,
you got to love it.
You know? I'm trying to think how many people at home are going, oh, he said it, hexadecimal. I was just about to say that.
Hexadecimal, yes. That's it.
The why 16th? Is it hex? Isn't hex 8? No, what am I thinking of? Hex. No, don't go. Go ahead.
Well, you're right. A hexagon doesn't have 16 sides, so... Hexadecimal. Wonder where it came from.
Latins are a bit weird, aren't they?
Stupid Latins. And of course, 16. It's also a beautiful square number, mate. 4 to the power of 2. Oh, we love those power of twos in computer land.
Well, if you go off onto one of these, I always worry what sort of magazines you read. Numbers Monthly. Look at that beautiful square number.
Square number, and as Huey Lewis says, it's hip to be square.
He does say that. Well, he did say that several decades ago.
Oh, come on. Sit it back in the best decades.
It may not be a hip anymore. That's when people were perving over 16-year-olds.
Yeah. Well, that was mainly the 60s and 70s, wasn't it?
Yeah, 70s. Don't talk about the 70s. Oh, my God.
So for those that don't know, I think we'll just call this episode the F word.
Oh.
And you'd know why that is, wouldn't you? Because you're nice and geeky.
Normally I would call it the F word every episode, unless I do some editing. Because you're like a bloody sailor on home from leave, you know, on home. So I don't know.
Why
is it the F
word? Well, F is actually the last digit in the hexadecimal system. The 16 digits that you get to actually get in base 16 is 0 to 9 and A to F. So
okay.
F is actually the last digit in hexadecimal. And word, it's a double entendre because word is actually a computer term that means it's an operation that gets done on a set number of bits depending on what your word length is in your operating system, mate. So the F word, it fits perfectly. Yeah. There'll be people rolling in the aisles over that, and there'll be other people going, What a dork.
I wonder how many people switch off at this stage.
Yeah, most of them.
Because when I look at the Stitcher, when I look at the Stitcher information, the amount of people that get to about this minute and then don't go any further.
Or what about, does the Stitcher tell you how many people jump to about the 10-minute mark and start listening from there?
Yeah, that could be quite alarming, actually.
I've got a conspiracy theory, and I didn't actually research this conspiracy theory, but if I dug, I couldn't possibly be the first person to come up with this. So I think it's probably a very common conspiracy theory that I hadn't heard of. 16, apparently, is Lucifer's number.
Huh?
And 16 is the atomic number for sulfur. Sulfur.
Another stinky one.
Brimstone. Yes. And your silver... anniversary for 16, silverware. Silver.
No, not sulfur.
Great against demons.
Werewolves.
And werewolves, yes.
Oh, and werewolves.
Oh, yeah. a lot of supernatural stuff, according to Supernatural, which I've been getting into a bit lately.
Oh, the television show.
The television show, that's right. Yeah. So I reckon 16, mate, definitely... definitely related to all the paranormal and that's why computers are based on 16.
Oh, so the whole conspiracy theory is
Lucifer actually runs the internet is basically where I'm getting to, I guess.
That pretty much covers why the internet is exactly the way it is. Actually, it does explain the forums.
There you go.
Definitely has majesty over the forums. Yes. I'm looking at some of these things. Here in the UK, you can actually join the armed forces at 16. But you can't smoke or drink. Which is...
you can't get yourself shot.
Yeah, so, by all means.
Don't expect to go open a drink.
Come cannon fodder in Iraq or Afghanistan, but, you know.
Mm.
Don't toast your mates afterwards. Yeah, sad really, but true. So, episode 16.
What's got on with it?
Who'd have thunk it?
Where do you want to start?
Shall we, let's tackle some of this news.
All right.
How shocked were you at $60 for a level 90 boost?
I didn't fall off my chair.
No?
It felt high, but, you know, I was like, well, it's going to be more than 30, you know, it's not going to be 100, it's going to be... it's going to be somewhere in there. Is it going to be 40? Is it going to be? It's going to be 50. So I didn't really fall off my chair at $60. I mean, it does feel high.
Mm-hmm. It does feel high, doesn't it?
Yeah. The main thing that surprised me was I really didn't think that they'd come out and go, okay, for $60 you can do a character boost to 90. Before they did the whole, here's the character boost you can do with your pre-order for your digital download of Warlords.
Mm.
I really thought that would get announced first.
Well, they didn't mean to do it. They didn't mean to announce the $60. Well, they haven't confirmed it one way or t'other.
Yeah.
So
somebody got a screenshot of it from somewhere.
It's called a virtual nip slip.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, $60 nip slip.
It's one of them.
Yep.
Mm.
But it was literally minutes after the servers came back for 5.4.7. And obviously somebody just forgot to turn that bit off. 5.4.7 was not the most smooth patch ever, to be honest.
We had maintenance again the next day, didn't we?
Yeah, because all the Bought 4 and RAF and SOR pets were missing and mounts were missing.
It disappeared. Mm. And they turned up in... It was a bit odd. They came back, but they also got mailed. I guess it was low level toons that couldn't learn them yet or something. Because they actually got mailed to my low level bank hold.
Yeah.
But they were back in my pet stable anyway.
So, yeah, loads of characters got them mailed. There was a flood of four moaning saying, "Come on, Blizzard, we'll go through and delete all these."
No, I can't.
And he doesn't even let me just delete them.
can't delete my character anymore.
Yeah. Well, you know, joking aside, obviously 30 days, in 30 days' time, they will all disappear regardless, but hopefully they'll disappear regardless. I don't know if it's different for stuff Blizzard sent you.
Yeah.
But it's a pain, though, because if you are thinking of transferring character of a frozen account, then you're scuppered for 30 days. So.
That's it.
That'll teach you. Well, I saw $60.
Conspiracy theory again. There you go. That's why they did it. Yeah. Stop you doing transfers.
Lucifer.
Yeah, they want you to pay you $60 to boost a turn up rather than transfer it.
I have to say, I was like, $60. Now, we discussed this a while back, and we said, quite rightly as it turns out, that if you're charging $55 to transfer and faction change,
yeah,
you can't be charging $30 for your boost, because no one will ever bother paying the $55. It would be crazy. So those prices, which we all believe are pretty steep, considering the mechanics required to do one of those transfer and faction changes.
I think they should be reduced to the same price, bundled together. For $30, I should be able to transfer and faction change. Don't charge me. That's just, you know,
mean.
Very mean. Pandering to those penny-pinching, profit-mongering bastards.
I think that's what's kind of set the bar for the price of this boost, because they knew they couldn't go lower than that. Either they brought down the price of the did what you just said, a bundle, perhaps.
Yeah.
Or they would have to
aim high on it. Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But do you think you'll be doing one? Do you think you'll...
No, not for that. No. Because, I mean, that's the other thing, right? I mean, who's it aimed at? What's the market? The majority of players that are playing it, even people I know that have played a single tune for years and years, like people like Tharis, his Paladin was like the only tune he ever played. And even people like that now have an alt at level 90.
Mm.
So it's really going to be aimed at the people that have been away for a while and want to jump, you know, they don't want to do the leveling. They want to jump straight up to the current content and play a bit of that. But for me, I don't even know, you know, obviously I'll do one because I'm getting it for free with Warlords, but I mean, I enjoy the leveling process. There's no reason I can think of that I would want to just take a tune to level 90 and start playing it there. It's not something that I personally would want to do.
The only thing I think I would do would be if at some stage there was a massive exodus or there was a group of people playing on a particular server. Like, for instance, the Airy Peak group.
Yeah.
I would have probably gone, oh, well, I'll pay the 60. I was going to pay 55 anyway in order to get over there and do, you know.
Yeah.
Then I would pay 60 because I don't have to worry about gear, you know, missing slots or whatever, you know.
Yeah, but on the flip side, I'd prefer to transfer because then I can take, you know, gear and gold and other stuff with me and be more established than a newly created tune.
Yeah, I don't remember what the actual boost involved, but does it not kind of give you a transfer anyway? Maybe it doesn't. Maybe if you boost a character, it doesn't do what Scholar Resurrection does. If you boost a character that you already kind of started, even if it's a level 1, it then says, well, where do you want to put it? Even though it's on a particular server already. So I don't think it does that. That would be quite cool. Because that's what Scholar Resurrection does. It used to be that it did it in two parts. It would say, what character do you want to boost? And it would do that. And then it would say, where do you want to put it? So what you could do is then boost it, load it with gold, and then tell it to go to a server you want to be on.
No, okay. I didn't realize you could do that. Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. It used to do that.
Well, then,
until they sussed that that's not what people were using it for. They were just using it to transfer gold. which, of course, is exactly what they would do when they suddenly saw the opportunity. I guess so. And we are looking at 90 boost as opposed to six, seven weeks after Warlords hits, a 90 boost is not going to seem that great.
No.
You know, because you've already got a few good characters up to 100.
Yeah. I might pay $60 for 100 boost.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not going to pay $60 for a 90 boost.
See, some people have suggested, and I think Ro and a few other people suggested, that perhaps instead of saying it's $60 for a 90, it's a set amount for a level. That if you want, because there are certain areas, like I found recently, for instance, that the 40 to 50 leveling process is incredibly painful, just because of the areas that you're kind of forced to go and level in, which I don't, and they're just particular areas I don't like, and they're also quite sparse. You have to move around a lot, and anyway, there's reasons why I don't like that area.
Well, 40 to 50, so I mean that must be the worst half hour of your life.
It is. I am going to say why I don't like it, because there's both areas that you could do it in, which one is the Southern Barrens, and the other one is Badlands. Have a freaking big ditch in through them, thanks to that freaking dragon. And you can't get over it. You have to. It's just.
Badlands is not that bad.
It's hideous. No, the area's not bad. You just can't get to it. You have to die to get to it. I know there are feeder quests that will get you in there, and you have to go back to Eastern Plaguelands or something.
Lightweight chapel, fly down on a rocket.
I mean, do me a favour.
Off the coast.
That's fine. That was perfectly fine when they gave you all the freaking flight paths.
Yeah.
But if you've not done Plaguelands, you're like, no, I was so banging my desk, slapping my keyboard because I couldn't get to Tanaris. Because I couldn't get across that freaking ditch. I had to get a character to fly down, put me on the back of the rocket, and fly me over the ditch. Just like, I can't believe I'll do this. Anyway, that's all by the by. But what I'm saying is, it would be a nice service to say, I can't. No, or buy a 60. I have a 60. I don't want to do old stuff again.
Right.
I want to get to.
So I want to pay $35 and I want you to take me to 60.
Yeah. That will never happen.
No.
Because that will never happen. But, yeah. Nice. So I don't know. I mean, I know a lot of people are sort of $60, but it'd be interesting to see how much take up there is over and above, obviously, the first free one. The first one you get for free. It's always the way with dealers. And you're like, cool, that was easy. Oh, look at the gear. $60. Doesn't seem so bad. So we'll see how much take up there is.
Mm.
But they've put a little bit of a sting in it, haven't they? Not a sting, but a bit of an extra hurdle for new people.
With the trickle feeding you the abilities.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think that's so much of a sting as a good idea to let people get a hang of their characters. I mean, the way that it's a bit odd, the way they've worded it is saying, well, if you don't already have a level 90, then we'll trickle feed you these abilities bit by bit so you can learn your character. Well, yeah. I think it needs to go further than that. I mean, if I don't have a level 90 warrior, I've got no idea how to play a level 90 warrior. I've got 8 other level 90s. I don't have a warrior. You should trickle feed me that or give me the option. Say, oh, you know, doesn't look like, you know, Mr. Clippy, the Microsoft Clippy comes out and says, it looks like you've got no idea what you're doing. Would you like to feed you some abilities?
The crying peon comes out and goes, looks like you're on lame.
So I'd like that. I'd go for that.
But would you also like the option to say, look, I know I don't need this trickle feed.
It's all right. She'll be right.
See, I don't give you the option to say no.
Yeah. I've got spell flash. Don't bother.
Yeah. I've seen people do it. I've looked at YouTube.
That's it.
The only worry about that is that the concept of day one, like for instance, I mean, you're not paying the $60 boost, you're going in and you're going to do the Warlords. Now, they've said that you can go and pre-purchase Warlords, hopefully in a week or so, I'm not sure how long it's going to take. Pre-purchase Warlords, you're going to get your 90 boost, your free 90 boost bang straight away. But we're not going to, that trickle feed doesn't come in until Warlords launches.
Yeah.
Officially. Popular launches.
Mainly, you know, they give all the reasons that they like, but the reality is they haven't written the code.
No. some bloke hasn't done it yet. And the reasons they obviously are giving are because the people who are going to buy the advanced copy of Warlords are those that are already playing, probably already have a 90, so it doesn't matter. La di da di da.
That's valid.
But if I say to my mate, look, you come play WoW, don't worry about catching up. We're going to get you a 90 as soon as you do the battle chest and the mop and the warlord. You're going to get yourself a 90. And then we'll go straight into the new content. You're going, well, I ain't going to the new content. I've only got one spell. I'm not going anywhere until I've done my homework.
Hopefully on a rogue, it's a pickpocket.
but it is. I can see people going, whoa. I know it worked with Death Knights. I can see. I like the Death Knight way of doing things because you do kind of learn the Death Knight in that initial five levels or three.
I haven't actually done the Death Knight starting zone since Wrath. So you know, it's the whole talent point system and spells and everything have changed. But yeah, I definitely like how that worked when it first came out. So something like that would be fine.
Now the thing that does annoy me is you do need to give the user the ability to say I don't need to be handheld.
Yes.
If they do that, then fine. That's fine because I'm like yourself. You just said I don't know how to play a warrior, so I'm happy to go through the process, the extra steps needed to learn some of the spells bit by bit, instead of having the whole lot flood into my action bar, which is fine. And if people want to do it, they should do it, but they should also be able to say, no, I don't want to do it. Yeah. One of the things that annoyed me with the Death Knight starting area was you couldn't leave. Mm-hmm. No matter how many times you did that Death Knight starting area, you had to do it to the very, very end.
Well, same with goblins, right? So same with the goblins.
Goblins, pandas.
Yeah.
Yeah, Worgen. Yeah. Worgen starting area is a nightmare.
Yeah.
You want to get out of there now. Fair enough. When it first came out, I understand the process. But
yeah. Now
how long have we had Worgens?
They should disable that. I mean, I'd love to have another goblin, but I've actually got a level 6 goblin and I log into it occasionally and went, oh no, I just can't. I can't.
It is choice, isn't it? It comes down to choice.
Mm. Yep. Give us choice. And we'll all be happy.
Because all you have to do, you don't have to say, okay, you can, we'll put a few more boats in and you can jump on any of these boats and get out of here. You just have to say, okay, well, I can be pulled over
let my warlock summon me.
Yeah.
Don't have to make it easy. Just don't make it impossible.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So that is one of those things. I appreciate Blizzard doing the hand-holding, but sometimes you just need to let go.
Yeah.
If I say let go, let go. Let go!
That's a safety word.
Salamander. Suddenly you're back in Ogrimmar. Hey!
What's your note here about battle.net?
Well, this is one of these things where I'm looking at it and going, that's ridiculous. That's the stupidest thing they've ever done. And other people will be like, it doesn't affect, it affects like less than 1.1%.
It affects Jeppy and two other people in the world.
People. Actually, it must be episode 12, 13 maybe even further back. We talked about a multi-boxer on Darkspear.
Yes.
Called Prepared. His name is Prepared. In other words, you are not prepared, but he is prepared. And he was going around with 60-plus characters, basically effing up the entire server with his foolishness, shall we say. And at the time we discussed it, we said, well, there's not really not much Blizzard can do, even though technically he is spoiling the game for other people, and his mechanics do crash the server. And I figured that was a complete, you know, terms of service, kick him off kind of thing. But no, he's still around. Now, on the, I think, when was the date? When did we say the date was? It's sometimes in March. But you think I would have had it open up, wouldn't you? Sometime in March, there's a new EULA. How do we pronounce that? EULA.
EULA. EULA. Mm.
And it's stating in the EULA that it will no longer be possible to have more than 3 battle nets.
Per person? Family? Yeah. Company? Country?
Well, I don't know, because
credit card?
do it at the IP level, and that's a family bollocks, because if you've got four people in your family and they've all got their own battle nets, it will be the same IP. And it's not only that, but it's IP. Sometimes IP's covered.
You can't do it on IP. You're on a university campus. 400 people with the same IP.
So it says there is... It's actually item number 2 on the BattleNet account. So the BattleNet account... It says the maximum number of accounts that a person may register on the service is limited to no more than 3 accounts. Now, does that... Which is odd, isn't it? Because at the moment, the BattleNet, if you know the BattleNet thing you download, is just one BattleNet, isn't it? It's just, you know.
I don't see how they're going to enforce it.
Well, so they're not.
So I put 3 on one credit card, and I use game cards for another one.
I don't think they are going to be able to enforce it, but I think what it is if they see somebody 60 multi-boxing. They know you can't multi. You're not allowed to multi-box somebody else's BattleNet. You're not allowed to multi-box somebody else's account.
Yeah.
So it gives them the opportunity to say, "Well, you're obviously breaking the terms of service."
Right.
As opposed to, and it seems to be one of these things that is enforceable at the point there's a complaint, as opposed to there's not going to be any sweep. They're not going to start going, "Well, you know, Shea's got 5 BattleNets. We're going to delete 2 of them." You know what happens to the accounts?
There's a BattleNet. Can have 8 accounts on it, yeah?
Yes.
So you can still be 24-way multi-boxing.
Taking 24.
It's still enough to bloody cause severe havoc.
Because the other thing that some people are saying is that it's not really aimed at WoW. It's actually aimed at D3, Diablo 3. Because a lot of people do multi-box Diablo. And you can only have 1 Diablo account per BattleNet. And so... I guess they could easily say, well, if you've got 4 characters, and some people are running 8, 9, 10 characters across 10 BattleNets. So it might well be aimed at that, because it seems the date that this thing is kicking in. But it just, you know, I can see it just gives there's another arrow in their quiver to go after people who are obviously not following the spirit of the terms and conditions, you know, that they may well be legally okay. There's no way. I mean, let's all be honest. I mean, I personally, I've got 5 BattleNets on the US. Okay? Two of them at any one time are ever going to have any active accounts on them, at the very most. So normally it's just 1.
Yeah.
But
you're right. They just want it as a legal out. They're not going to go chasing people like you that are handing over good money and not causing problems.
No.
What's the point?
No.
Weird.
And there are a few things in the terms of service which aren't necessarily ever going to be followed up on unless they need it to take somebody out of the game. Talking of BattleNets, this 8 account limit, and there was some talk again about having perhaps more accounts attached, and that would be quite nice actually, because I get a bit, I'm a bit OCD about most things, but I get a bit oof when I've got frozen accounts on my main BattleNet. I just don't like it. It just annoys me because there's potential there for accounts that will soon be frozen. But, you know, and it used to be, and I don't even remember, I phoned up Blizzard once and said, can you move off some of these accounts and put them onto a different BattleNet because I want to recruit a friend. And because they give you so much benefit to having your accounts on the same BattleNet because of all the shared achievements and mounts, etc., it seems churlish not to be able to take accounts off. So I didn't get to phone. I got to use the chat, and I said, "Oh, you know, I'd like to have these 2 accounts removed." And they said, "Oh, we can't do it. We're not allowed to do that anymore.
Wow!
It's against policy." I said, "Oh, well, you did it. You've done it for me in the past." And they go, "Oh, it's just changed recently. Just had a policy." And I'm not sure if it's true. And so I said, "Oh, well, that's." I assume it's a she. It was a female sounding name. She said, "Well, if you're transferring it because it's one of your children's accounts, we can do that." I said, "Oh yeah, it's that." Now you come to mention it. I haven't mentioned it in the entire conversation so far. Yeah, it's that. It's my children's account. Oh, she said, "Oh well, that's great because we can send you a form which you need to fill in." the thing they ask you to do is basically you have to give your kids DNA. You have to, it's ridiculous. It's you have to send. I mean, if you've got a 12-year-old kid, they don't have a driving license.
Yeah.
He's got no proof of identity, really. It's definitely. I'll send you a family photo. It's definitely my kid. But I looked at this bloody document and what they asked to have sent through, and I thought, I just can't do it. Can't do it.
Wow.
Even if it were true. I mean, so that was everything. But then I went onto the forums. This is what does occasionally tick me off about big companies or Blizzard, big companies in particular, but when it happens to be via Blizzard, it ticks me off. I said, I put a little note in the forums and I say, I'd like to get rid of these two accounts. I don't mention the child thing. I just said, I'd like to get rid of these two accounts. And the blue comes back and says, you can do this under certain circumstances. You just need to call billing. Now, of course, so they don't, if there's been a change of policy, they haven't told the CM that runs the forum.
No.
And I don't even know now if it is true. So that does annoy me a little bit. Because I feel all clear. I've only got two free slots on my main battle net.
It's getting tight. It's getting tight.
I know, it's getting tight. I feel all cramped. I feel all messed about with. But it does annoy me when they don't say the same things. Because a couple of forum posts below me, somebody's asking exactly the same question, where they've got a frozen account. They had a trial account, which, by the way, they can move a trial account. They've got no problems deleting a trial account. They don't even move it. They just delete it.
Yeah.
They can do that. But they also had a couple of valid frozen accounts that have been played and upgraded. And the same thing, the CM said the same thing to them. You know, call billing. Billing going to say, well, no, if that lady was telling me the truth, billing's going to say the same thing. No, it's against policy. We can't do it. But the guy on the zoo, no, you know, they're probably sat next to each other. You shout over. Dolores, what do you tell that bloke?
Can you still do this?
So I don't know. I was a little bit ticked off by that, but I don't know what to do. But.
Yeah. So you and those other two people in the world that's impacted by that must be really cut up.
Yes, well.
Everybody else is like, stop you killing your pommy.
You pommy bastard. But the it is annoying. It's annoying. Yeah. It's annoying. For me, it's annoying because I see it, and this is what we're not supposed to do. I see it as my account.
Well, no, it's not.
No, it's not. And whenever that comes up, I'm like, I paid for it. I don't understand. No, you don't own anything. You don't own anything in Azeroth.
Blizzard could just take away. Just let OCD go. Just let it go.
No, I'm trying to. I really am trying to.
Mm. Let's move on.
Before I lose it completely.
Yeah. Go up your just nut.
Shakes.
So talking about going up your nut, what about the explosion in feedback on their announcement that in order to queue for random heroic dungeons at level 100, you need to pass the Silver Proving Grounds? Oh.
The Crucible.
Wow. And I was serious. I looked at that and went, oh, that's a good idea.
It's a damn fine idea.
Yeah.
You'd have thought that everybody would agree with you, but no.
No.
They went mental. We called this one, didn't we? We called this one. We said, again, a wee while ago, why have Proving Grounds? What a fantastic idea to have Proving Grounds as a gateway to prove that you can play your class.
Exactly.
All this moaning and whining about level 90s just strolling in and not being able to play the class and 10 levels is not enough to get them up to speed in order for them to go into any sort of dungeon. Boom.
Just gate it.
Proving Grounds.
Bang. Problem solved.
And it's not even, it's just heroic dungeons. And it's randoms.
Yeah, because I don't know that everybody acknowledges that, like in MOP, there is no distinction between normal and heroic with the level 90 dungeons. Whereas in Warlords, there's going to be a difference. There's going to be level 100 normals and level 100 heroics.
That's fine.
And
there aren't heroics. 90 normals, are there?
Well, at 90, it's just one level. There's not, you haven't got your two levels.
Yeah.
And it's only for randoms. If you want to queue up with, you know, if you've got, if you've got completely crap gear and you've got no idea how to play your class and you've got four friends that want to run you through a dungeon, not a problem.
Masochistic friends.
Go ahead and do that.
Exactly. And as I understand it, the proving grounds are taking, what, 15, 20 minutes?
Yeah, it does. I mean, at the moment, I don't know if they're going to change it dramatically. I wouldn't think so. But, yeah, it's not. If you know how to play a class, that's not a big hurdle to jump over. And you should know how to play your class well enough to get past silver. Silver's entirely doable. I don't have a problem with that at all. Yet to see a good argument for why it's a bad idea.
No. People lose their minds over some really, really weird things. Just as going back to the $60, I swear the same people that said, "How dare you allow people to buy level 90s?" are now going, "How dare you charge $60 to buy a level 9? That's too expensive. I can't believe it.
Where do I get my 3-for-2 discount?"
That's crazy. Anyway, somebody said, and it may have been the godmother. She's been very prolific lately. She said that it has the chance to break guilds apart. But I don't see why, because they're not going to... Are they going to insist that all their guild members get their silver?
Wouldn't think so, because it's only guild's going to go random. You know,
yeah. So I didn't understand that part of the argument.
Yeah, five-man groups aren't raids. They're just, you know, dungeons with a bunch of friends or randoms or whatever. I can't imagine a guild environment that says, "Well, you know, you're not allowed to play unless you've got your silver proving grounds."
Yeah, didn't seem to make much sense. I'm not sure if that was somebody getting the wrong end of the stick or whatever. Mm-hmm. And the fact is that who's not? I mean, you'll do it anyway. I mean, even if I don't ever step into a five-man dungeon,
that's it.
Just for the challenge.
It's content and a challenge and something to do. I mean, as soon as it came out, I went, "Oh, great!" And I went and got my silver proving grounds. I'm a healer, and I said, "Oh, that was, you know, tried gold and failed miserably, but silver was entirely doable, and I had fun doing it."
I mean, they are going to have to sort of tighten it up a bit, aren't they? Because I know that some people complain that even though the healing it sometimes plays to a particular class of healer as opposed to all healers, because it doesn't change depending on your class, does it?
No,
it's your healing or your DPS or your tanking.
Yeah, so I mean, some of the fights might be more might be easier on a druid that's got a lot of AOE heals, and you know, harder on a paladin that's normally a main tank heals. So, yeah, I mean, a bit of tuning required, but overall, the concept is fine.
Yeah, and it makes sense now. That's why they're called proving grounds.
Yeah,
you know, it just makes sense because when they first came out, they're like, "Well, what are they proving? And what does it matter?" There was no, you yourself, for instance, like a challenge. So you went in and did it as a challenge to yourself, as a personal goal. But now, you know, it's a gate, which I think is a legitimate one.
Perfectly.
So we agree with that one. We didn't go mental in the forums. we didn't start burning gnomes and chucking pitchforks at the devs. We said, "No, okay, it's fine."
Yeah. Bought them a beer and said, "Good job, lads. Good job."
Yeah, yeah. Mm. That's fine.
Well, the one I'm not too concerned because I know that they generally make pretty good decisions, but I'm kind of holding my breath a bit about the announcement that they're going to remove about 20% of class skills and abilities to address ability bloat.
Bloat.
Yep. Bloat. Because, I mean, yeah, admittedly, you get a level 90, it's damn hard to get everything that you want to do in all of your action bars on your screen. And I know there's plenty of things that you can do to create macros for, you know, abilities that most often you're going to chain together, or, you know, you put it in a sequence macro and you just spam it and do things in a particular order.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's that type of person, and I'm one of them, where whilst I know I can do that, I'd rather have all my abilities laid out there so that if I want to do any single ability, I can do it and you know I know what all the abilities of that class are, rather than just you know scrolling a mouse wheel and going, oh look I'm awesome, I can kill stuff. I've got no idea how to play my class, but I can spin this mouse wheel. Yeah, kind of holding my breath there as to find out what abilities are gonna disappear. And I'm sure there'll be some that are like, oh damn, I like that. I want to lose that one.
I was looking on the forums, and there are people already mourning the loss of abilities which have yet to be announced as we moved. And they're saying, oh well, goodbye Eye of Kilvog, or goodbye some peasants, or this and that. But what you just said as well is that when Blizzard see, looking at their huge version of one of these things that tell you what's been going on.
Big spreadsheet.
Big spreadsheet.
They look at their mega spreadsheet.
And they say, oh, well, every time this ability is done, because of the way that it needs to have this bit here, this ability is done, like you said, chained together,
yep.
Normally in a macro.
Hmm.
Oh, let's just squeeze those together.
Yeah.
And not require it to be an individual skill. And I imagine that 20% is a lot of that. And there is some bloat. I mean, there's definitely some bloat. And some of the classes have way more bloat than others. So
it'd
be interesting to see what they do.
Yeah. So, and I mean, that a lot of things that they've changed, even in the UI, in combining stuff together, like all, you know, combining all the totems of one type into one pop-out bar, and the warlock summoning, you know, all popping out in one bar. That's all, you know, consolidation of that kind of UI is a good way to do it as well. I don't think you necessarily need to remove them. You know, I don't think you should be removing Eye of Kilvog just because it's only used 1% of the time. I mean, it's not on an action bar, but I know that I've got it, and I can pull it out if I need it.
Yeah. I have to say goodbye to Eye of Kilvog. I don't think that's going to be that. I'm sorry to say.
No more
looking around corners.
Well, I'll tell you why I don't think that they will, because if they did, then they'd have to rewrite the Greenfire questline for Warlocks, because you need Eye of Kilvog to do it. You can't do it without it.
You may be saved.
I can't see them going back and changing that.
But remember that we decided that they don't talk to each other. The quest guy has no idea that the devs have removed Eye of Kilvog. He'll be like, what?
The quest guy that removes stuff doesn't talk to the zone achievement guys that says you need to do this many quests.
Look, there's only 50 now. Yeah, but we've got a 200 achievement. It's only 50. And you need Eye of Kilvog. Eye of Kilvog's gone.
Sorry, Sunshine.
Sometimes I think they only discover it when the player tells them. They're like, oh, yeah.
I didn't think of that. I mean, it is a very complex ecosystem. It's hard. Yeah. It's very hard for somebody to think of every consequence of some change.
Yeah.
It must be so hard for them, really.
Well, hopefully, when the beta hits, instead of everybody running around making videos of themselves, people will start testing stuff.
And give feedback.
That would be quite useful.
That would be radical for to occur in a beta phase, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Not going to happen, though, is it?
Some of us might, mate. Some of us might.
You ain't getting in.
Yeah. The other thing that the other comment that I saw that didn't really have any meat behind it, that I found interesting because I thought they were already doing it. They said that raid encounters will have more interesting mechanic for healers, and you know, my eyes lit up at stuff like that, being a big healing fan, allowing them to avoid the boredom that comes with just spamming the same skill over and over. And I thought, great. And then I thought, well, hang on a minute, they already do that. So if they're going to come up with even more interesting mechanics, then yeah, they must have some pretty clever and ingenious ideas. Because even if you look at like the Siege of Orgrimmar, the current raid content, right? The very first boss in there, it's just a straight out heal. In Immersius, healers have a very key role in, we actually have to heal these blobs that spew out from the boss.
Yeah.
And you've got to heal them up before they get back into the middle again. So, yeah, it's not just to keep your tank alive. You've got something to do there. Nourishing is another interesting one. You get taken below into a separate room, and you've got to heal NPCs and kill mobs down there. That's not just straight healing. And you got Thok. Thok is something that our flex team got down for the first time this week. Big shout out to the FERT raid team. We did awesome. And in Thok, it's mad. There's different phases of the fight, and it's mad AoE healing trying to keep everybody up, because the actual phases of the fight are not controlled by the normal percentage health of the boss. The phase change is as a result of the health levels of the players. So yeah. if you let too many players drop below a certain percentage of health, then it changes into the next phase.
Ouch.
So, you know, they already do some pretty interesting stuff for healers to overcome, you know, in quote boredom, unquote. So,
see, I read that and I think they're going to just tie in Bejeweled. And if you get five in a row, you get this massive AoE heal. And if you, you know,
I better res on the tank.
It says more interesting mechanics for healers, allowing them to avoid the boredom. You know, maybe like a little bit of Plants versus Zombies.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, very good.
It's good that they're thinking about that, though. It's obviously something they as the mechanics become that much more involved for every member of the raid team.
Yeah.
I think sometimes in the past, healers perhaps got out of step. And the fact that they're now thinking, okay, it's not just the tank has to respond, or switching tanks, or certain DPS, or stopping causing DPS, yeah, and, you know, attacking a different type of mob.
To be honest, I think what probably really prompted them to say something like that and emphasize something like that, I'm back in, say, Wrath and probably even Cataclysm, tanks were a real shortage. You're trying to get a raid group together or a dungeon or something. You're waiting forever for tanks. Certainly in LFR, in MOP, you're waiting for healers. You're always waiting for healers. And so there seems to be a real shortage of healers. So I think they're focusing on, well, we need to do something to make sure that we get a better balance of, you know, more healers coming through that want to heal and don't find it boring.
Mm. Do you think that currently is as much a perception that the healing role is a boring one, as opposed to they've made good changes, but they're not getting across?
Yeah, it's a combination of things. It's perception. It's also, it takes a particular kind of person that wants to heal.
Yeah, somebody who cares about other people.
Well, you know, I hold your life in my hands. You live or die, depending on what I do, but...
Egomaniacs, that's the word you're looking for.
Maniacs. Whereas, yeah, there's your stereotypical DPS. All I care about is getting to the top of the DPS meters. And that's the kind of player you are, and you're never going to play a healer because of that. So I think they're just trying to appeal to some more people to balance it out a bit more.
Yeah. Well, hopefully it works, because... you do need a balance, you know. There's no good having all these gorgeous five-man raids and five-man dungeons and new raids if there's no healers to heal them. So exactly. Hopefully it pulls new people in.
Yeah, definitely. Hope so. So that's about the news for this week. Jeez, yeah, about the news. We've waffled on for nearly an hour on news.
It's good, though. It's nice that information's coming out now.
Definitely. I think, people are getting a bit worried about, you know, there's not going to be any news, nothing's going to happen, nothing's going to change. I think they'll keep pumping us with information.
Yeah, and I don't think there's going to be one massive, like with Pandoland, there was a massive news thing where we just suddenly got a ton of news. Everything was laid out. I don't think it's going to be that. I think there's this sort of, it's not drip feeding, but it's like, you know, here's a little bit more, here's a little bit more, keep the excitement going.
Mm.
Just the models, showing the new models, I would imagine that hopefully, if we're looking at, even if we're looking at 3 months away, most of the models must be pretty close to being done now. You'd hope so.
Yeah.
You know, at least, you know, drawing, hopefully they're done. And that instead of just saying, okay, here are the models, they're just slowly releasing them, getting the feedback, seeing how what people like, what people don't like. It's very good. It's a good way of doing it. And it just keeps us all on our toes and interested. You know?
Exactly. What about in game this week, mate? What have you been up to? Anything exciting?
No, not really. A lump comes to my throat. Project Madonna ended on Wednesday. Sadly enough, I did have, by the time I sort of, I went mental and I leveled some hunters just so that I could give back at least a modicum of levels to Strumpet, who kindly bankrolled the whole thing.
Oh, don't worry about it. She doesn't, she's playing StarCraft now, man. She's not even playing well.
It was hard to actually get her into game. She was like, no, I don't, do I need them? My hands are literally bleeding from doing nothing but keyboard work and mouse work, trying to get some levels. I had about 40 levels. Actually, that's not true. I actually had about 60 levels in total to give to her. Eventually, she comes into game, and her husband said, well, you know, you may not want them now, but if you don't take them, then they're gone. So why not just take the levels? So I did manage to get one of her little new mages up to 59 or 60, I think.
Well, there you go.
From one.
A veteran character. She can boost that. Bang.
That's all. A couple of professions.
190 max professions.
But the annoying thing is I said to her, well, look, this was on Monday, maybe on Sunday night, Monday night. I said, don't worry, because there's probably another, I could probably get up to 65 because I've still got a bit of time. I knew the servers were going down, but I still had a bit of time. It didn't actually end till Wednesday night. So I go ahead and get ready to do some more leveling on these hunters because they're currently sat, or they were sat at 76. Pop into the game and the 5.4.7 bogeyman got me because all the Wrath mounts disappeared, as did the Scroll of Resurrection mounts. In fact, any bought mounts disappeared as well. There's a whole load of mounts and pets disappeared.
So you didn't have a two-seater?
I didn't have a two-seater. But not only that, I didn't, like I said to you last week, I didn't bother training flying on the second character because I was using a two-seater. And so I was like, I couldn't, in fact, when I tried to give Strumpet the levels, I had no idea how I was going to get back. So I was in the middle of nowhere. I'd have to walk. I didn't have any mounts at all. I was like, well, I don't know what to do. So it was a bit of a pain. And it actually didn't, they didn't come back until after the Wrath had ended, or was just shortly before the Wrath had ended. So
they were say, oh, bugger it, I just logged out and deleted the characters.
But the annoying thing about it, of course, is they sat there on 76. One of them has some nice bags. They got a little bit of gear. They got some professions they skinning along the way, herbing, mining. But I don't know what I'm going to do with them. The account's frozen now. Or it'll be frozen in a few days' time. It's just I'm leaving orphans everywhere. Yeah. I feel like a really, really bad father. I'm going around chucking my seed hither and thither and then buggering off and leaving them. So I don't know. I'm thinking, oh, maybe I'll transfer them over. I don't know. Maybe
Not like they're fending for themselves. It's more like you're putting them in, you know, suspended animation.
Yeah.
Okay. You can do that to your kids.
I guess so. Yeah. Go back when they're a lot older. Wait for another 7 day free. Go and say hi. Actually, because what happens when any expansion comes out? Normally, either straight away or shortly after it comes out, the UI gives you the option to do a 10 day trial.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So there was a mass fly where I go in and say hello to all the old characters. Hello, 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 hello. 10 days. I'm just here for 10 days. Mm-hmm.
Let me get all your stuff out of your bag, send it off somewhere else. Okay, bye.
Strip you down naked, leave you in the opposition's main town. It's funny. They love it. But
to laugh.
I also, as the hours were ticking by before the servers closed down, I was also panicking about Skull of Resurrection. Excuse me, there's a little whistle in the back of my throat. Because it was ending. Skull of Resurrection going to end. I thought, oh, okay, I've got like 11 potential Skulls of Resurrection. I just leave them. Why? I don't need them. Just leave them. And then I started to sweat a little bit.
Yeah. It's a little, thinking, a little guy on your shoulders whispering in your ear.
It's a level 80, boy. Those level 80s don't come for free. I said, oh, God. 75 gold each. They get 75 golden bags. I said, oh, well, okay, Mr. Hanky. I'll go in and I'll go in and do it. The only problem is they don't, you can only send one a day.
Oh, I didn't know that.
per account.
Okay.
It's not per character, it's per account. And I have 11 Skulls of Erection. Erection? Skulls of Resurrection. I get an erection thinking about Skulls of Resurrection. But I have 11 of them. I only have 7 active accounts. I'm thinking, I'm going into old accounts that aren't valid for Skull of Resurrection, seeing if they still have their 10-day mop trial.
Oh.
Eventually, I had to go on to the guild chat and say, can somebody send me a Skull of Resurrection, please? I need to have them. The time's ticking away. The server's about to go down. 15 minutes to go. Oh, please, please, just send me a Skull of Resurrection. Eventually, I got 10 out of the 11. I missed the 11th one. But...
Oh, well. There you go.
But that's pretty good. I haven't done anything with them. I've still got 20-something days to go and actually do something. Because you still have the 30 days to accept the invitation. I'm not accepting any at the moment. Because I have no idea what I'm going to do with them. Probably going to just create them all on Urban Ring and take the 75 gold per and have 750 gold for the trouble.
Woohoo!
750 gold! Yay! Another 10 accounts. Another 10 level 80s abandoned. Just left out there now.
You're just doing things that's going to make you feel bad.
I know. I don't know what's wrong with me. I wake up at night screaming.
You need to stop this OCD, mate. Just let it go. Just play the game.
Just play the game. That's what I kept saying. I kept saying, Shay said to just play the game. Just play the game.
It seems to me that you sit there thinking, what can I possibly do to do with WoW and everything that I've got here except play the game?
Everything but,
you seem to come up with a ton of stuff to do that's not actually play the game.
But, you're right. No excuse for it. I know, and you would think, they always tell you that understanding your problem, knowing what your problem is halfway there to solving it.
Mm.
It doesn't get beyond the halfway. I know it's mental. I know that it's OCD and all sorts of other weird things. Like, I honestly, after I'd spoken to that person over at Blizzard about them not allowing me to take those two frozen accounts off, I was devastated. I was like, I can't believe that. I'm thinking about all the combinations of Wrath that I can now do. Can I? Because I've got these two accounts as well. And this is another thing that really, you're probably going to think you're mental again, but if perchance, last time I got stung. Last time a beta came along, quite early on, I got an invite. I probably in the first or second wave, I got an invite. And they gave me a code, and I went and banged it into my main battle.net, and it didn't work, because it said, you've already got 8 accounts.
Nah,
you can't, that's right. You can't have any more.
I remember that.
It's like, what? I can't believe this. So fortunately, when I contacted customer support and said, listen, you know, this has happened. Is it possible I can tell that code back? They said, oh, well, you go and check your EU one because they've got one on there as well. So I already had been invited on the EU side as well. That's when I was playing on both sides. So it didn't matter so much. But now I fear if I fill those two slots. Dude.
That's when you just start. Begging the billing department. Begging.
I'm going to give them another go. I'm going to phone them up again. I just wish I had some connections. I have to speak to Scott Johnson. But I just can't.
Oh, God.
It's my account. No, it's not. It's my account. Just give me, take them off there. Delete them. I don't mind. I mean, I paid for Battle Chest, Mop, 3 months card. I've given you $100.
Yeah, you got all the cash you want out of me. Let me spend more cash by deleting some of this stuff.
so I can spend more money.
More money.
You'll get more money.
Just don't seem to understand.
Billing department's eyes will light up at that. They'll do it for you, mate.
They don't care. They don't care that I spend thousands and thousands of pounds every year. Just another nub. But I'm sure to balance up that mentalness and craziness, you've done normal things, have you?
Well, please. Yes and no. I did some cool stuff. Okay. I did actually manage to get my legendary cloak on a Shao.
You did indeed.
I'm very happy with.
I saw many congratulations.
Yeah. So it happened exactly the same way as it happened on my druid. I had to get the 12 rune stones. You remember last week I said, well, I know that there's two bosses that are guaranteed drop. So worst case scenario, I'll get them off that. And lo and behold, yeah, didn't get any other drops and got my last rune stone off the Thunder King himself.
Ooh.
Went back to Rathian and go, here you go, bastard. Here's your 12 bloody rune stones. What have I got to do next? And he went, go and kill the Thunder King.
Oh.
Exactly the same thing happened to me on my healer, so.
I just killed him.
Oh, I just killed him. Now I've got to go back again. So I went and did it again, got him, and, you know, no, of course, no such luck of getting an LFR that was already on the last boss. Had to do the whole wing again. Oh, well, there we go. And one of the last little hurdles in the chain is you have to go and speak to the four Celestials. Pardon me. And pick one of them. Take one of their challenges, and it's, you know, it's basically a ranged DPS, melee DPS, tank or healer as a challenge. So obviously I'm on my warlock, I'm gonna pick the ranged DPS challenge. And I actually had it wasn't a walk in the park. I failed it several times before I managed to get through it. I found it a lot harder than the healing one. You basically have to defeat Rathian. And you do more DPS to him if you're standing behind him. But of course, my blueberry's tanking him and he keeps spinning around and moving and stuff. And so it's hard to stay behind him. And you can't stand right behind him because he does this big AoE on the ground and you can't stand in that. So you have to move away from that. And he's summoning blobs that come and kill you and you need to AoE those down. So that's taking away DPS and. So it was actually quite a hard fight. And I'm now in pretty good gear. You know, most of it is dropped from Siege of Orgrimmar, LFR. So I'm like, I don't know, 540 or something like that. Mm. So I'm thinking, wow, you know, huge props to those people that did this when they were, you know, back in Thunder Isle gear. Which is the, you know, what you're in when this first came out. So yeah, but I got there. I persisted. Got there eventually. Just get my Vorty alive. He died once, and you know, resummon him fast enough and heal him up. And that was basically the last hurdle. So got my legendary cloak. Killing the four Celestials was easy. Just used the new in-game. Yeah, looking for a group and I'd had to get about six or seven groups, I think, before I found a realm that was killing the four that I needed.
Mm.
And then that was it. Bingo bango. So
yay, yeah. Second cloak.
That's it.
So who's the third?
Yeah, Shao and Jekyll are actually both on the same account. So that didn't actually give me any benefit besides, you know, having done it twice, because you can do the world boss out on the Timeless Isle on any character on the account as long as one of those characters has got the cloak.
Yeah, on the battlenet.
So, yeah, if I was sensible, I probably should have done the second one on my other account so that all those characters could do it as well, but I wasn't, and I wanted to get it on my main turn. So if I'm going to do it on another turn, it'll be one of the turns on the other account. Probably my shaman.
There's seven slots on both those accounts.
11.
No, do you have seven BattleNet account slots?
Oh, no. Three.
Yeah.
Well, no, nah, there's probably... there's a trial. I know there's a trial on at least one of them because I actually clicked something in the stupid web interface and it added another account to my BattleNet.
But still...
Yeah, I should actually. That's what I'm going to do this week. I'm going to ring up billing and tell them to delete that.
They will do that as well.
Yeah, pretty much six or seven slots in both elements. Oh, the freedom! It's like free balling, mate. It's like going commando.
It sounds like it's just the freedom to move, the freedom to breathe.
Oh, it's awesome. There you go. And then in my little noob to elite section for this week, I don't have the problem that you've got with accounts on BattleNets. The problem I've got is actual tunes on realms and shuffling them around.
Mm.
So I ummed and ahed. And it would have been easier for me to delete a tune off my second account and create another tune to level on there, but and easier still to create one over on Airy Peak. But I've got this bug about wanting to have all max level characters of all classes all on my main account.
Mm-hmm.
So, and what I don't have on my main account is a rogue. I've got everything else. Even that, my hunter on that account is actually my Iron Man tune. So, I mean, it's a hunter, but it doesn't really count. So I wanted to create a row, which meant I had to delete something. So I ended up deleting. I've actually got two banked alts on that. So I did the... Oh, well, I'm going to have to sacrifice all these bank slots and all these bags and...
No!
Yeah, there was a whole bunch of stuff, and I'm looking at all this stuff in this bank, and I'm like, oh, it's all like leveling mats for professions and cooking and stuff. Like, I can't be bothered. I just logged out and I deleted it. It's gone.
Bang. Not even the mailbox shuffle.
No, couldn't bring myself to do it, mate.
Not even vendor.
Nah.
Not even vendor money.
Just. I was getting really pissed off at myself because I was just procrastinating. I was umming and ahhing. I go, will I go this way? Will I do something on my other account? Am I going to do a rogue? Am I going to level up? I want to leave my warrior at 80 so I can do Herald of the Titans, but I'm liking my warrior, so should I create another warrior and level that up? And I don't have a shaman, and I really want to do Herald of the Titan on a healer. So I level up another shaman, and I'm getting really angry at myself for not making a decision. So in the end, I'm like, and I just deleted it and created a rogue. There you go.
Ouch.
Making a rogue.
Ouch.
Yeah.
So on Airy Peak, you got a rogue on Airy Peak on your main account.
No. On Earthen Ring.
What did you go for? Undead.
No, that was my next one. So I'm sitting there looking at the creation screen going, oh, undead. Because my the other rogue that I did have was an undead. Then you got cannibalized, rogues. It doesn't, troll, berserk, the orcs doesn't really make sense. And then I started thinking, oh, hang on a minute. So I've just done the troll starting area. I did the orc not that long ago. As we've discussed, I'm not doing a goblin. I can't be a tauren. Looks like it's going to be a blood elf.
No! Oh, male blood elf?
No, female.
Oh, there you go.
Female blood elf rogue, yep. So kick that off. I thought it's probably better because it's been so many years since I played a rogue. Better to start a new one than pick up the old one that I had. So the first thing I did, of course, was go and trying to get all my heirlooms. Like, where's my heirlooms? Where are my leather heirlooms? Oh, he's a leather heirloom. No, they're all into it. Where is my agility leather heirlooms? I found some. I did actually find some, but ended up just going to the guild vendor and buying the guild heirlooms for that.
They're probably in that bank.
No, I did actually check. I did actually check the heirlooms and stuff.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's good.
I ended up having to I didn't actually, because leather agility stuff you only actually need for a couple of classes, so I kind of decided, well, I probably haven't actually bought much of this stuff. So I'll go and buy the stuff with justice points, and I didn't actually have many tunes on Earth and Ring that had a lot of justice points. And that's when I remembered, oh, that's right, it doesn't matter anymore. I can now actually use these justice points that have been sitting around on tunes on other realms that I'm not doing anything with, and buy the heirlooms over there and mail them back to Earth and Ring.
Chuck them in the mailbox.
Hadn't thought of that before. Perfect opportunity. So, yeah, so I bought some, spent some justice points on some other servers and mailed it back, and bam, a rogue, pretty much full heirlooms. Way to go. Cool. Hey. So I'm enjoying him. He's her, rather.
Yeah.
She's 15, no, 16. So I hit 15 and queued for a dungeon, got Ragefire Chasm, and actually put on two levels in there. I think I dinged twice in there. So she must be 17. So, yeah, it's pretty fast. And the first thing that I noticed, one of the very first things that I noticed on my rogue is you get stealth at a pretty low level. When did stealth become full speed? The last time I played a rogue, you're stealthing at about 50% speed.
Yeah.
And it'd drive you nuts trying to get behind something because they'd keep moving and you're like, oh, you creep over.
Is that the same for every spec though?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know.
Probably not.
It wasn't a talent.
Subtlety.
It wasn't a talent. I got it straight away. It wasn't, because I know that there used to be talents for increase your speed in stealth.
Yeah.
But
I mean, the only way I know that it does that is that when I was doing Timeless Isle on the Rogue, and it was a Rogue that was basically raffed up. I'd never really played them. Until maybe up till about 20 or so.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh God, I'm going to have to creep around at stupid snail pace. And then boom, creeping around all over the place, no problem. Yeah, it was good.
So maybe it's a mock thing. Changed. I think
the
big rogue fans out there will write in or tweet us and go, you noobs, that's been there since bloody Burning Crusades.
It always seemed a bit unfair that, I mean, one of the talents of Rogue is subtle and sneaky and hides in the shadows. The fact that then you have to cripple the bugger so that he goes really slow seemed a bit unfair. Always seemed unfair. that's what they do. It's not fair. Let's have a warrior, but he's not allowed to use swords. That's not fair. Or he swings really slowly. No, so it's well overdue.
Probably changed it at the same point, but they changed it so that it used to be that only feral druids got the speed boost in cat form.
Trying to match that.
Even you get a speed boost even as resto in cat form now. So
yeah,
probably at the same point that they did that. But yeah, so there's certainly some key differences to how I remember playing my rogue all those years ago. And so far, I don't like it. As I discussed, I really love the warrior because of charge. So I'm not enjoying it as much as my warrior, because I'm still, you sneak up behind stuff and go, I don't remember what, ambush, I think is the first one you get to do in stealth mode. You go ambush, and it says that's too far away, because it's something that's walking away, and you're running behind it. and you're trying to stay behind, you don't want to run through it, and because then it's going to say you need to be behind that target, and but you don't want to let it get too far ahead, and you know, it's that whole latency thing. So it's still, you know, already I'm seeing the so I'm not sure how far I'll get. I don't think I've ever got a Rogue past 50, but
$60 boost, mate. I'll just put that to one side. Get it to 60, get its profession, $60 boost, boom.
And then level another one to practice on it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Whenever I play a Rogue, I would love to be on a PvP server.
Right.
That's the only... The amount of trouble when I was on the PvP server from Rogues, and the amount of times I thought, God, I'd love to be a Rogue. Because they just come along and sap you.
Yeah.
And you're like, what? They don't. And the worst ones are the ones that didn't actually do anything else afterwards.
Yeah, just sap them and just wander off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just wander off. Just
come back 20 seconds later and sap you again.
Yeah, I know. I remember just an epic, epic sap and run in Area 51.
Yeah.
It was just, it went on for like hours and hours, and there was, I was calling in people to help and trying to find this little bastard Rogue, and it was cool. It was cool, but it was frustrating. And I'd like to have been the Rogue.
Probably what I'll do on my Rogue. He's herbalist farmer, so he'll be a herbalist miner rather. So he'll be a farmer and a PvPer probably.
Yeah.
You know, I'll be terrible, but you know, I'll still get my revenge back on other people.
See, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you die, because you get that initial hit in. That initial hit is gold.
That's it.
It's like,
I don't care after that.
Or better still, when you sap someone in a PvP in a battleground, and then other people finish them off. Yay! I helped with that one. This new island sounds like it's going to be good for rogues. This island.
Oh, the ash. Ashlaw or something.
Yeah, I would say every time they use ash in anything, I'd go after them in courts.
I can't talk about it because it's illegal. It's a legal battle, so yeah, ongoing. But that, no, I mean, what I do obviously enjoy about the Rogue is already, you know, that crypt in the Ghostlands. Where there's an escort quest in there and you've got to, you know, fight your way in. And I just went stealth, ran in, spoke to the quest giver. There you go. Beauty. Didn't have to kill all that stuff because I'm going to have to kill it again on the way out while I'm doing the escort anyway. So,
yeah.
It's always nice being able to know what's going on and skipping stuff.
I used to like the certain, like, is it kobolds could smell the rogue. If you get a little bit close, he smells it. And then you're fine. But if he does two sniffs, then you're done for because he can see you. And he comes after you. That was really thrilling, you know, trying to go through, you know, one of the mines, Jasper Lode or something. And he's just a bit too close. He looks up, surround, his little whiskers go.
Because I haven't got distract yet. So it's always good when they look up. And they just kind of stand there facing in one direction. Okay, you just stand there and face one direction. I'm just going to sneak around the back and whack in the head. Thank you.
It's a good class to play, but I fear it's a bad class to level. It's a good
But I mean,
worst class to multibox. Worst class to multibox. By a long way.
Yeah.
Impossible.
Mm.
In fact, the times that I have leveled one to any, I've always had something else with them. I've had a hunter and a rogue. And the rogue didn't do anything.
I just follow it around on my druid in cat form, stealthed.
Yeah.
So, you know, then you can just stealth through stuff. I remember when I actually first played the game, the guy that introduced me played a rogue. And he used to love just stealthing in somewhere. So quickly figured out I didn't like playing a rogue, but I didn't mind the druid, so I leveled up a druid and we played together and we'd sneak into places. Yeah, that was back in the days where you'd sneak into dungeons and there was chests in there and you'd sneak through the chests and kill something by the chest and loot it and try to get a nice blue item.
It is, yeah. It's a good feeling, though. It is a good feeling just knowing none of these NPCs can see me. I'm invisible. I can do anything. Jeez, I might just transfer that 90 rogue over to a PvP server just for laughs.
Oh, just for laughs. Go for it.
Just for laughs. Ooh. I'm so chicken, even though the rogue would probably take an equivalent 90, I wouldn't. I'd be doing it on 30s. I'd just be hanging around Stranglethorn. just to really know. Isn't that awful? That's awful. That's griefing.
Well, it's more Stranglethorn has always been Geek City, Gank City, rather. So, it's the place to do it. I think newer people to the game probably wouldn't appreciate or know about that. But, you know, us old timers, if you're going to gank someone, Stranglethorn Vale is the place to do it.
Jeez, I'm tempted now. Mm. Might have to talk me out of that.
So, speaking of heirlooms, we actually got some questions. And it wasn't this week, but we carried them over. We're going this week. And Erinth sent us an email asking about some heirlooms. Having leveled a few toons now, I've played around with this a bit. But he writes, at what point do you want to transition out of your heirloom gear? I've got some standard gear that carries me to level 80. My question revolves around if you should change it at 80 or when you hit 81. And do you want to keep your guild heirlooms? Do they go higher like the upgraded heirlooms? I suppose the heart of the question is, when do you stop getting XP boost from your heirlooms? Thanks. Be well, Erinth. /wolf brother/wolf here. A fine, good question, that is. Mm. And that's not actually the question you want to ask.
Oh.
There's two parts to it. So the easy question to answer is, when do you stop getting your XP boost? And certainly the gear that says 1-80 stops as soon as you hit 80. It's not 81. You stop getting your bonus there. Mm. However, there's a reasonable chance that even at 80, some of your heirloom gear is still decent gear compared to what you might get from a quest drop. So I kind of aren't in an immediate hurry to, as soon as I hit 80, go and swap out all my heirlooms. I kind of, if you run a dungeon and you get a nice blue or something, then yeah, that's probably going to be better. But still, have a look at your gear, see what you're going to replace it with, and don't assume that the first thing you get at level 80 is going to be a nice upgrade from your heirloom. Mm.
Mm. It's funny it does that, because so technically it ends at 79.99.
Yeah.
The XP, which is naughty really, because Raph doesn't do that. Raph, if it says it goes to 85, it actually goes to 85.99.
It doesn't stop until... I didn't test it with the Raph ones. Ah, there you go. Between us, we've got the answers.
Yeah, they need to be a little bit more consistent, though, really. Because I would have assumed, until you said that, I would have assumed 80.99 having the Raph experience.
Well, that's what I had assumed as well, but I remember testing it.
Yeah.
And, stopped.
Mm. Not nice.
Mm. Of course, there's always the possibility that they've changed it since I tested it. Mm. That's always an option. Maybe someone will write in and correct us.
Yep, things do change. Mm. We can't do everything every week. We can't be checking it every day.
Well, we could, but then I'm wanting to get paid for it, and then it becomes a job. I just want to play.
Just play the game.
An excellent question, and of course, don't forget to get plenty of justice points and upgrade those 80 heirlooms up to 1-85. So I wonder if you do upgrade an 80-85, does that gear as well work to 85.999?
Oh, I don't know. See, that's going to have to be tested as well.
Yeah, more stuff to test. Oh, God. We're going to have to create our own QA department. This is getting ridiculous and out of hand.
Definitely, yeah. We're going to have a team on it.
Otherwise, we'll go to Google.
Google it.
Someone on Google. Yeah, just Google it. Yeah. Who else have we got questions from, mate?
Well, we have an email. I haven't read it through, so I don't know if there's any questions, but I'm going to read it now. But before I do so, I'm going to take a sip of water because it's a long one. Right. I need a little bit of extra energy.
And I'll just gargle as well.
Ew. Drunk Murloc. Okay. This is hello. Hello with a U. There we are. We're off to a weird start already. Jeppy and Deshare. Reversing the order there. Alphabet be damned. Yeah, there you go. Jeppy first. No
fair problem. Enough.
I'm so very pleased to have found Well Geekly while trolling around on iTunes looking for some new podcast to subscribe to. Help on iTunes.
Oh, it's because it's hard to find World of Warcraft podcasts on iTunes. There's not many of them there.
Sparse, to say the very least. I had no idea you two were doing your own podcast. I'd only recently resubscribed to Control Alt WoW and was more than a little bit miffed to find that you two were missing from the current lineup of hosts. Sheo is actually Lita and I'm Rogue Slayer. Yeah. I didn't know if you know that. We just have a special
hello,
voice
sweeties.
For those. Hello, sweeties. I'm working my way through the backlog of old episodes. That won't take long. And enjoying every minute. You're doing God's work, lads. Keep it up. Your contributions to the pod world are very much appreciated. It's nice, isn't it? It's nice.
Thank you.
A brief 11-star review has been posted on iTunes for you. Buggered if I know where it shows up. iTunes can be obtuse sometimes. Tell me about it. Tell me about it. Why can't they just have all the bloody reviews in one place?
Yeah. I looked at that and assumed he'd actually given us a 3-star review because I just see everything in binary. Uh-huh. So, but 11-star review would be even better than 3-star.
You're sad, sad man. I'd initially been going to write a Pommy and an Ocker. Discuss this week in World of Warcraft, blah, blah, blah. Well worth your time, etc. However, a little unsure about whether or not Pommy should be written P-O-M-E or Pommy, as in the whole word. And not wanted people to think that the show was just an Aussie talking to an apple. Ha-ha! For an hour and a half each week, which admittedly sounds bizarre enough to warrant subscribing to.
Yeah, I might do that. I'll do a different apple this week. This week, is Shayo and Granny Smith.
Foo Geekly. It's great. I decided to Google Foo Pommy. Imagine my delight at the Urban Dictionary explanation of the term. And there's a link to that that will be put in the show notes. My question to you both is, do you agree with the definitions applied by Urban Dictionary? I grew up in Canada and New Zealand, and I'd only ever known Pommy as slang for someone from the UK.
Hmm.
A pom. Yeah.
That's my question.
The assumed meaning that prisoner of Mother England meant you were a slave of the Queen or some such, which seems like a bit of a weak burn coming from a fellow member of the Commonwealth, indeed.
I had, until I saw that Urban Dictionary entry, I had no idea that Pommy used to refer to Australians as prisoner of Mother England.
Yeah.
Big surprise to me.
Yeah.
Pommy was always you people from Greater Britain.
Yeah, you poms.
Mm.
Yeah, fair enough too. Of whinging poms normally, wasn't it?
Yeah, normally. Normally.
Normally. I've only ever known ocker as slang for an Australian, didn't realise there was a cultural class component to the term. Uh-oh. Just as well, I Google food that too before posting my brief review. It's taking a lot of time. Most people just slap a review in. No
way. Put a lot of effort into this review.
He's put a lot of effort. He's a good lad. I'd be interested to know whether or not ocker has any meaning to either of you.
Of course it does.
Are you an ocker?
I would proudly call myself an ocker. And even though technically it refers to the working class Australian. Yeah, you're someone in a blue singlet and having a beer down the pub. Yeah, she'll be right, mate. Bit of a, you know, your big G. Ocker ads, mate. Ocker ads.
Big G.
Yeah.
We should put that in Urban Dictionary.
We don't mind big being G. called ocker. And I'm kind of more of the opinion that, yeah, ocker is just slang for Australian. Yeah. Sure, we got different classes, but we're all Australian.
Yeah, I've never really thought that Australia was that much of a class-based country. to be serious a little bit.
Yeah. We because, are, you know, but, you know, we're not.
Yeah. Certainly not like here.
No, you've got royalty, mate, so.
Yeah, that's right.
People like Beckham and, you know, that kind of royalty.
Yeah, so it's, which is weird, really, because, you know, he's way low class.
Bogan.
So, definitely a bogan, yeah. So he finishes off. If you're reading this email on the podcast, then I suspect many of your American listeners may have suddenly decided to die of boredom. Huh. How dare they? This is culture.
Yeah. People are fascinated about the English and Australians.
Yeah, when they can distinguish us.
Yeah, that's right.
When an American can actually tell the difference, that's fine. And that's signed Zev, Z-E-V, Suramar server, which I've never heard of.
The Suramar server. Never heard of the Suramar server either.
It's probably Rift. So, yeah. Yeah. No, I've always been, whenever I travelled, I was always a POM.
Yeah.
POM.
Yeah. Pom.
Yeah, there's no problem with that. Or strange, as I mentioned some time back, I always called Jaffers, and that was fine. We got on very well together.
Mm.
In fact, in all my travelling days, when I was backpacking around the world, Australians were my favourite travelling companions because they were so laid back.
Oh, we are. Please. We're extremely laid back.
Travel with an American, jeez. Oh, God, that's horrible. Hideous. And Americans call us limeys. Which is a bit weird.
Oh, where does that come from?
The war, and I think, well, in naval terms, you had to eat limes to avoid getting some nasty skin problems. But yes, I think it came from that. That they were that most of the supplies were limes. Was citrus based, so the game was limes or Tommies. Yeah,
as long as you got a margarita with it, wouldn't complain.
Bit of salt.
Mm. Yeah. Bit of salt there. And we've got yet another email. Look at that. We've got our...
That's what happens when you wait for 6 email.
Yeah.
They build up.
And this does include a question way down the bottom of it, which I'll get to. It's from Davey.
Davey
over on the EU, a man of many tunes. And he writes, "Hey guys, just listened to your Landmark 15th podcast. I thought I'd contribute a noob story. Warning, this story contains graphic newbie content and listener's discretion is advised."
Uh-oh.
"Last week, I was on the Timeless Isle grinding away on my 7th level 90. Good lad, good lad. Whilst I waited for the Siege of Orgrimmar LFR to pop on my Fury Warrior alt, I was keen that some gear upgrades would drop, in particular a good two-hander and shoulders. Well, would you believe it? Hey presto, I got a good two-handed mace upgrade from General Nazgrim and the Seized Craft Black Fuse drop shoulders of the Curse Protector. Wow. Good job. My wish had come true and RNG was on my side. Yes. Keen to make sure the new mace and shoulders were at their peak performance with gems and enchantments, I immediately logged on to Ask Mr. Robot, who said I should equip various gems, enchants, and reforge some other gear stats. Great, I thought. I log on to my bank vault, buy the stuff, mail it to my toon so he can equip it. It's exactly what I do. Why wouldn't you do that? It's exactly what I do. I use Auctionator. Good lad. The Auctionator add-on, which is great for searching and showing the cheapest price of an item. I bought Enchant Shoulder, Greater Tiger Fang Inscription, at about 1,100 gold, which was the cheapest. Wow. That sounds expensive. I'm glad I'm not on your server. I could get at the time, which is the cheapest I could get at the time, and also bought the remaining gems and weapon enchants, then hurried to my mailbox to collect and forward to the toon. Logged onto my toon to get the mailed items, hurriedly equipped them, thinking my DPS should now have skyrocketed. I even had asked Mr. Robot's seal of approval, stating I was at maximum performance. Ah, it's a great feeling, that. There you go. What should I change, Mr. Robot? And he goes, nothing, lad. Nothing.
You're perfect the way you are.
I then continued to do my Timeless Isle questing, killing rares, etc. And was checking my bags that I noticed I still had Enchant Shoulders, Greater Tiger Fang Inscription in my bag. I thought, did I equip it? Check my toon's profile and it says, enchanted. I looked in my bags again and to my horror, I noticed But it was not one enchant I had, but a stack of 11.
Ouch!
I had spent over 12,000 gold buying one stack of 12 solar enchants. Auctionator must have shown the single item price, but not the stack price. As I don't play the auction house, I felt gutted, as this was a considerable chunk of my little nest egg, I bet. I hope this helps other listeners as a warning to check before you click. Keep up the good work, lads. Regards, Davey. Yes, an expensive mistake. Wow.
It, my whole body went cold. I was like, no.
And that is, for this point in the expansion, I have to find his server and go and work the auction house over there, because I'm not logged in at the moment, but I swear the prices for shoulder enchants on Earth and Ring are nothing like 1,100.
No, they're way better, lower than that, I'm sure. Oh. I bought one about 4 days ago and it was nothing like that. One of that, in that same sort of class level.
Yeah, a couple hundred at most, I would think. Wow.
So we were like, oh, you paid 1,100. There's the noob there. No.
There's more. 12,000. That's guy. Painful.
Hopefully you managed to sell them back.
Yeah, I'm hoping you can sell them back. Exactly. So it's a question. Forgot to ask the question with my previous mail. The economy in Warlords of Draenor in general, what do you think will be the items that will sell well in WoD based on your knowledge? And what items will be defunct?
It's a tough one, though, at this stage. We don't know what the hoops they're going to make you jump through for professions are as yet, and whether they'll be soulbound or... I mean, that's going to make a huge difference. If it's the same type of hoops there were for Pandaland, then it's going to be finished materials, because you can't sell the main raws.
And it's going to be a limited number of people that have max level professions and can make stuff.
Mm.
And as time goes by, there's going to be more competition because more people are leveling up secondary professions.
Yeah.
So the key for an expansion is, pick a profession that you think is going to do well and level it up as quick as you can and make all your money right at the start of the expansion, because basically prices only go down.
Yeah, there's going to be a peak.
And it's going to be really tough to know at this point, because what we do know is that with Warlords, they are reducing the number of items that will have gem slots. They're reducing the number of slots that you can enchant. So that's going to, just straight off the bat, I mean, that feels like it's going to make a fairly significant dent in your jewel crafter and enchanting economy.
Yeah. In fact, the whole gear side of things, because of the ability of the gear to change depending on your spec.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, some people would be gearing up three or four types.
A lot of times you can do pretty well selling plate intellect gear, because for some reason a lot of blacksmiths tend to make the plate strength gear and stick that up in the auction house. Whereas the plate intellect gear generally sells for a lot higher because for some reason the blacksmiths don't make it.
They're going to be fewer niche products. They're going to be fewer ones where you can corner a tiny part of the market but still make a lot of money.
Yeah.
It's a shame, really, because that's actually where the fun is finding those little niches that people aren't... There's not a mass on there, but because you're the only one doing it, you're making a substantial amount of money just because you have no competition. That's going to be... Also, what's going to change, I think, is because you kind of think that there'll be no one... Because of the veteran bonus and also the ability to get a fresh 90 from day one, a lot of the old stuff now... They may well go ahead and do what they've done with mining, in as much as that you hit Pandaland, you can mine with level one miner, you just get a different type of ghost iron that builds together.
Yep.
Now, they may do that with all the other old things, but the recipes necessary for you to get up to 600, still, it depends. I mean, they may change it, but if that still requires...
Well, if they change it like blacksmithing, because now with blacksmithing, you can level all the way just with Ghost Iron.
Yeah, so that's so annoying.
It requires a ton of it.
Yeah.
You know, but if there's you know, a lack of people leveling because everybody's just jumping straight to 90 or 60 or whatever, and those mats are missing.
Like tailoring, if they don't touch tailoring, you're still going to need the mass amounts of pre-60 cloths.
Yeah, you're still going to need all that silk and wool and everything. And to a degree, obviously, is going to affect the economy. But then again, there's always going to be, I think I'm probably in the majority where I'm not going to be paying for extra toons. I'm going to level it. A lot of people enjoy the leveling process and will do that. And they'll, you know, those mats will still be around. And even if they don't, there's enough people that you know, some people like just work in the auction house by doing stuff like, you know, buying low, selling high, or just buying stuff, making it with your profession and selling that. Whereas other people are more than happy just to spend hours on end just going out and farming raw materials. You know, if they see that there's no silk on the auction house, they'll just go and run dungeons that drop silk and, you know, make their money that way. Yeah. So I think there will definitely be niches. Yeah, they might be harder to find, but I'd look at it as, okay, well, you know, I like working the auction house. I like finding ways to make gold. That's just another challenge that's added to the game for me to figure out. And that's what I like about it. You know, if it was the same old, you know, walk in, okay, well, I'm just going to do exactly the same thing I did in MOP and level my blacksmith and just sell belt buckles, that's boring. You know, I want to figure something new out and you know, challenge myself to find other ways to make gold.
As we get more information, which obviously we will do, that especially as when the beta hits, people will be testing out the professions and seeing how they fly.
Yep.
You at that stage, you need to consider which one you want to hit first. You know, there are going to be bigger bang type professions early on. So once we get more information, hopefully we'll start to steer people in that direction.
Yeah.
Assuming they're not in our realm.
So, although I think probably a minority of people would choose what toon they level first based on the professions of that toon.
No, that's right. That's not the first. There are some people that do that.
Some will, but not the majority. The majority of people are going to be like, this is my main, I want to level him first, or this is a toon that I'm going to raid on, and so I want to level him first. You know, or I'm playing with my mate, and my mate's a tank, so I'll be a healer, so I want to level this toon first. I think that's the majority of decision processes that people make, rather than, I want to be a blacksmith, so I'm going to level my blacksmith first.
Yeah, see, and that's good, because that means the minority of us vultures take advantage of that majority, because they'll want all that stuff, and we can just say, well, we've done it. Because I will level my main hunter first. Happens to be an engineer, engineer miner, so that I'm not going to get a huge benefit from that necessarily. But I will, if I'm multiboxing, I'll pull along, you know, a blacksmith and a tailor. Why not?
Engineer, mate, they'll probably be pets. You'll probably make a bloody fortune off selling engineering pets.
This is true. It's true, but we'll know more. And it's cool. It is another exciting thing that we're going to learn over the next weeks and months, hopefully. It's good. It's good. And it's something that we hadn't really thought about too much until now. So, good question.
Exactly. Excellent question. Thanks for your mail.
Yeah. A man of many tunes on the EU.
Mm. I like it. That brings us to the end of the show.
Yes.
The end of episode F.
The F word.
And then we do our normal stumble.
We always have a hard time ending these shows.
We don't want to go. We want to stay and record forever.
We're heading into the 2-hour mark, that might not be a great idea.
let's go to Twitter and start reading out tweets. Let's do that. So let's wrap up episode F, and looking forward to next week's Oh, it's a prime number. It's a prime number next week.
Oh, it's been a while, hasn't it?
It has been a while. So,
all excited.
Hanging out for that. And we'll see you then. But for this week, you'll have a good week.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You've just skipped to the end of WoW Geekly. Well, hopefully you didn't skip all the way and enjoyed something of what we said this week. If so, let us know. If not, let us know that too. How, you ask? Well, you're all clever and discerning people and can probably take a darn good guess, but I'll spell it out anyway. Find us on the interwebs at wowgeekly.com or over on Twitter where, wait for it, at wowgeekly. Follow the lads directly on at TheShayo and at LJeppy. Or, if you have a hankering to write us more than 140 characters, email us, wowgeekly@gmail.com. Please subscribe to us on iTunes or Stitcher, or if you're really into oversubscribing, do both.
Upload complete.